Welcome back to In Pursuit of Community. I'm Brian Stallings, the CEO and co-founder of Elevate Branson, along with my wife, Amy. Say hi, Amy.
Hi, guys.
Well, we just celebrated 4th of July. Pretty exciting. What 4th of Julys do you remember most? Do you have any epic 4th of Julys?
I would have to say when I went to Rockaway Beach one time with my kids when they were little and almost got hit like 20 times with firecrackers and sparkler type things. And it was a little dangerous, but it was kind of fun.
I remember being in, I think it was high school, because you're not very bright when you're a teenager. And we had bottle rocket wars. And we would shoot bottle rockets at each other. And one year we had whistling bottle rockets. Mm-hmm. And so a whistling bottle rocket has like a plastic tip on the end. That's what makes it whistle. Mm-hmm. And with whistling bottle rockets, you could actually bounce them off the pavement. So, you could kind of direct them a little bit. And so I remember a lot of times you have like a metal trash can lid as a shield to kind of block them. We would shoot those at each other. Fortunately, nobody lost any eyes because that probably wasn't the safest.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common. Our producer Jules was telling me a funny story about that as well with her brothers and just lighting things off like that and then just standing there for a minute trying to figure out which direction it was going and then just running.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
Now, back in the 90s, when Big Cedar started their big firework displays, typically everybody would go out on the lake on the boats and sit out there and watch it. And I remember one year, there were some big boats out there. And so once they're over, everybody's trying to get out of the cove. And everybody would take off and they'd create these huge, huge waves. And this younger gal, I say younger because she was probably in her maybe 20s, she had a ski nautique boat and it sat pretty low to the water. And when she took off, all those big waves swamped her boat and it sunk.
Oh, that's
on
horrible.
The 4th of July. So I remember that. Yeesh. That was kind of an epic, epic 4th
it's
of July.
A good story.
Any other ones when you're growing up or anything? 4th of July stuff?
Not really. I mean, I lived in Southern California. It was kind of cool. We would go and they would, play music like they do now. And we actually hung out in a cemetery and watched them. It was kind of fun.
Did you ever have any firecrackers go off in your hand or anything?
Oh, no. I was always like, I never did that kind of stuff.
I was too scared of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I had that happen a couple times with short fuses on them. Mm. It makes your fingers tingle. How about Roman candles? Do you remember those? They shoot like one color off at a time.
Yeah.
And they would say, don't hold those in your hand. A lot of times people hold them in the hand and
point them at each other.
Yeah, and I had a kid in school. He had one in his hand, and it blew up in his hand. It was not good. Yeah.
Well, when I worked at the ER, we saw a lot of
stuff.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Cracker injuries.
Ugly.
Yeah. How about growing up, did you have a lot of different jobs you did?
I worked in a couple of fast food places. I worked at Pier 1 Imports. That was probably my favorite.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's been around that long, huh?
Oh, that wasn't very nice of you. But yes, it has been. So, yeah, I loved that job. It was a lot of fun. I moved out of Cleveland area. I moved to Southern California when I was 18, so I was still pretty young, so I didn't have a lot of jobs to speak about.
Did you ever deliver papers when you were a kid?
No.
Never did?
No.
They used to make this newspaper called Grit. You ever heard of that? Grit?
No.
Yeah, and it was interesting, just little articles and stuff. And as a kid, you could, I think you paid like 15 cents and you could sell it for a quarter or something like that. So I used to deliver Grit newspapers when I was a kid on my bicycle.
Grit newspapers. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal. What else? Any other exciting jobs growing up?
Well, I didn't work for a lot of years because I stayed home to hang out with the kiddos.
Well, I know these kids. So that's a full-time job.
Yeah, it was clearly a full-time job. Yeah, so I did that for a lot of years. And then I worked around Branson, did some things here. I worked at Dixie Stampede for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I did that. Had to dress up as a soldier and go talk to people on the big buses and pretend I was a soldier and just invite, just talk to them about the show and all that good stuff.
He sold tickets. He worked for
group tickets, yeah. And I also worked for Branson Tourism Center. Yeah, yeah, I've worked a few jobs.
And then you worked ER and ambulance,
right?
Cleaned houses. You've done quite a few things.
Did that when my kids were a bit younger. It was something I could do and still not, you know, have to work.
Cleaning houses, that was kind of entrepreneurial. That was kind of your own business.
Well, I mean, you can make some pretty good money at it, but you do work your tail off, so.
Yeah. So I worked for a friend of mine. His dad owned a ice house in the town I grew up in, Gardner, Kansas. Shout out to the Trailblazers of Gardner. And we would deliver bags of ice to downtown Kansas City. That was an adventuresome job because a lot of those were liquor stores and small grocery stores. Yeah, you always know it's maybe not the safest area when you pull up and there's bars on the windows and doors, you know?
Right. You were how old?
Gosh, I was probably 15, 16 years old doing
that. Did you ever get threatened? Like,
I never did, but I heard stories all the time. So, yeah. So, but, you know, again, you're not very smart when you're that age. So you're always looking for that kind of stuff, looking for trouble.
Yeah. Well, you were kind of a squirrely young person.
I was. And then I was a lifeguard at a beach.
Did you ever save anybody?
Oh, I did. Saved lots of ding-dong little kids that would jump off of things and almost drown.
Kids.
And then for a short time, I went to college and then decided I didn't want to go to college anymore. And my dad was in the insurance business. And so he talked me into getting my insurance license and, you know, said you can do very well in the insurance business. And I went on one call with him after my insurance license. And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think this sucks. I'm not doing it."
Not for me.
Not for me.
Not for me. After you took your test and everything?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. After I had my license. Yeah. One call. That was it. I should have done the call before I had the license. Then I had to go through all that.
Yeah. That would have been about smart.
And then I ran a karaoke recording studio.
Mm, I've heard rumor about what went on there.
And that kind of set me on my entrepreneurial journey. And so I moved to Branson in 1987 and opened up a karaoke recording studio back when Star Search was really popular. You remember Ed McMahon and all that?
Yeah.
And had some pretty big name people come in and record Leanne Rimes when she was a kid. Yakov Smirnoff, Mo Bandy, all the Branson entertainers were part of that. And then I did back then the season was only April through October. So to find some more income, I also did personalized children's books. So that was where you could put the name of your kid into a book. This is way before laser printers or anything like that. And we did that at Christmas time. And I also did balloon gift wrap and gift wrap in a can where you could actually put gifts in a can and seal it up. You had to have a can opener to open it. And had an ice cream shop and a pizza shop. And then you and I did bed bug heater rentals, which was quite adventuresome. So if people had bed bugs, we'd rent them these heaters to kill their...
Kind of a few stories there.
So I think you gave me the nickname of Carnival Entrepreneur. Do you remember that?
Not carnivore, but carnival.
Carnival, yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I've done a lot of different... Oh, old-time Photoshop. Had an old-time Photoshop, too. I forgot about that. So, yeah, just a lot of different things, very entrepreneurially, which we actually have an entrepreneurial program here at Elevate now.
We do.
And really, it's to help people create a side hustle, just like what many of these things were for us, just to create some... extra income and a little bit of margin. There was a story that came out, probably 2-3 weeks ago, and it was a survey of 8,500 people across 10 countries. About 2,000 of them were Americans, and they revealed 43% of the people surveyed had asked for financial help in the last 12 months. commissioned, the survey was actually commissioned by Herbalife and conducted by OnePoll. And the survey found the need for help isn't a reflection of respondents' lack of effort. Results found 56% of respondents currently have a side hustle or other form of supplemental income. 56%, over half the people.
Yeah, it makes sense.
That's why I think the entrepreneur program's great, because mm-hmm. sometimes people don't know how to do right. a side hustle. And,
right.
And I think that initially people think it's about creating a business, but it's mm-hmm. really about creating extra income.
Right.
It's about creating that side hustle.
Mm-hmm.
But millennials were the most likely to have a side hustle, 61% compared to 40% wow. of baby boomers. And they primarily created the side hustles to combat the cost of living.
Mm, that's smart.
When they were asked about their side hustles, they said it was selling products on e-commerce websites. It was content creation and writing, editing, or proofreading. And those were the most common types of things. Mm-hmm. There was also direct sales or network marketing. And those came in the fourth most common types of side hustles. So if you're going to start your own side hustle, what mm-hmm. would you do?
What would I do? I don't know. I'd have to think about that for a minute or two or maybe 3 minutes.
I would do cookies.
You would do cookies?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be horrible for us.
Yeah, that's why I know I'd probably eat my product.
Probably.
I'd probably lose my side hustle because of me money.
I don't know. I'd probably try to do something creative, even though I'm not necessarily creative, but I could just steal everything off of Pinterest.
What do you think some good side hustles would be?
Well, we had one gal who took the class who created goat soap. And that's still one of my favorites. Yeah. I think that's so creative. And a lot of people like that. It's all natural and good for you. So that's always kind of what
we had a girl in Elevate Work that she's getting ready to take the next entrepreneur class.
Mm-hmm.
And she sells jewelry that she makes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she's very successful at it.
Right. We had wind chimes. I mean, we've had quite a few go through the class. What do I think would be good? I mean, I think the millennials are kind of onto something with a lot of the type of side hustles that they're doing. It seems like there's a demand for that.
I wonder if you can create a side hustle with this new AI that people are using.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know enough about AI to know.
I don't either. I know there's some not great information about it out there. I'm not sure.
Well, what's interesting about this article, it said that the millennials did content creation, writing, editing, or proofreading. Those were some of the most common.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're not really creating a product per se in that.
No, but you're offering a service. I read an article about a gal who did, I think she was like in New York City, and she was young and just very creative. And she actually became a wedding planner, but she didn't actually present it that way, but that's what it turned out to be. And she ended up just making a killing on that type of thing.
What about tamales? Would you sell tamales?
Ooh, tamales. I would eat them. I don't know if I'd sell them.
Not a good side hustle if you're eating your profit. Well, speaking of food
mm-hmm.
and the fact that this is a wacky Wednesday news day, you know, there's an annual hot dog eating contest that Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs puts on every year. Did you know that?
Ugh, hot dogs.
Yeah, it's a big contest every year. Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Where's Nathan's?
I think it's like New Jersey or something like that.
Oh, let's just go to New Jersey.
So there's this guy by the name of Joey Chestnut. Have you ever heard of Joey Chestnut?
No.
Oh, he's famous.
Is he real?
Yeah, no, he's famous.
Okay.
And so he is once again the champion of Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. In 10 minutes, he ate 62 hot dogs.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Like full size?
Yeah. Bun and all.
Bun and all?
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And not only did he eat 62, his closest runner-up to him was 14 hot dogs behind him. So
that's crazy.
He beat the second place finisher by 14 hot dogs. It was Joey Chestnut's 8th straight contest win.
Oh my gosh, how do you practice for?
And like, his 16th overall. I would like to know who beat him.
Oh geez, I would just like to watch it. That'd be crazy. That's kind of like a pie eating contest when you can't use your hands.
Maybe we should do that for a fundraiser.
A hot dog or
hot dog
pie?
Eating contest?
Hot dog eating contest? Maybe.
There, now, somebody on the 4th had a key lime eating, a pie eating contest.
You have to like key lime.
Yeah, key lime pie.
Wouldn't be my favorite.
Yeah, it wouldn't be mine either. Hot dogs.
Well, I also like the idea of that run.
Have you ever seen them eat hot dogs?
Mm-mm.
So they don't have mustard and ketchup on it. So they take the hot dog in the bun and they dip it in water so it'll slide down their throat better.
Aren't they afraid of choking?
Well, I think that's why they dip it in the water.
Well, still, I mean, that sounds like not a great idea.
What if we had
I'm looking at a video of it, and that is the most disgusting thing ever.
Yeah, that's Joey Chestnut right there, yeah.
That's Joey Chestnut right there?
Yeah, he's not a big guy either.
Oh, why would you want to do that? Actually, it doesn't,
well,
I mean, at least
he
he's neat and tidy
him,
about it.
He's done it 16 times, so he's 6 overall champion.
So that's his claim to fame?
Yeah. This is where we need to play.
That's insane.
We Are the Champions by Queen right here, you know, as the hot dog eating champion of the world.
So you would pick cookies for
yours? Maybe we should do that.
I would do ice cream. I could eat a lot of ice cream.
The only problem with ice cream is you'd get like a brain freeze.
I don't know.
If you're eating it as fast as you could for a contest.
Donuts would be fun to watch.
So, hey, listeners, let us know what a great fundraiser would be for an eating contest.
Well, you're doing the bacon run, aren't you?
I am doing the bacon run. Shout out to the great bacon run because of bacon.
So tell us what the bacon run
is. I'm not really 100% sure, but I did see it on Facebook that it is a 5K and there's lots of bacon. And for me to get motivated to do a run, you know, it's bacon or cookies sound like a great idea. So
are you going to be like thrown up on the side of the run?
I don't think you eat the bacon till the end.
I heard somebody told me that you eat it
along the way. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. Then I could be very well could be, which I think didn't somebody have that idea for our, for doing a fundraiser for Thanksgiving? We could do a 5K,
You
have to eat each course along the way.
Oh, man, I don't know. That'd make it awfully hard to run after eating all that, especially stuffing.
Well, what about the turkey? Because turkey puts you to sleep, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like the hare and the tortoise kind of, you know, with the
you'd
turkey.
You'd start out as the hare.
Start off really fast and eat some of that turkey, and then you'd fall asleep before you got to the finish line.
I would probably stop at the pie station or the rolls.
You'd have to put trash cans along the way. People to hurl into.
Yeah.
But we should do that. We should think about having either a
hot dog some ideas from the community
eating contest or ice cream eating contest. We could get an ice cream sponsor and then we could have an ice cream eating contest.
Oh man, count me in on that. I would definitely do that.
How that would work though, because you'd have to have some way of measuring the amount of ice cream that a person eats.
Just give them a half a gallon and you're not done until it's empty and then give them another half a gallon.
Well, you have to set a time limit. It's got to be like this was 10 minutes to eat as many hot dogs as you can.
Well, maybe you have scoopers that stand next to them and they just quickly scoop ice cream scoops and they count the scoops.
Yeah, maybe.
This podcast is brought to you by Elevate Coffee, the coffee that lifts you up. Elevate Coffee provides handcrafted espresso-based drinks, teas, homemade muffins, and specialty drinks like lavender honey lattes, chai lattes, and frappuccinos. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside Elevate Branson. Swing by on your morning commute or stop in for a midday pick-me-up. Elevate Coffee, the coffee that lifts you up.
All right, we've got another one. Susan on Facebook asked, are the tiny houses free or do you have to pay rent?
Well, they are not free intentionally because we feel it's important for people to have some skin in the game. And so the rent actually is $400 a month, and that includes all the utilities for a brand new tiny house, really cute and a nice community. Eventually it'll be a gated community with some businesses there. And So it's going to be a great community for people. So $400 a month is what we landed on because we feel like that's a fair amount for people.
Yeah, apparently there was a rumor flying around that the tiny houses are free.
Yeah, no, that's a rumor. We just don't do really anything for free. We just feel like people feel better about themselves when they've worked a little bit for something. So, and that's how the real world works.
Yeah, you just take care of something better when you
absolutely
when you're actually invested in it.
Right.
So. Well, today our scripture of the week comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. How's it go, Amy? Got it memorized?
No. Am I supposed to have it memorized?
Well, you could have said yes. Nobody would know.
Oh, yeah, I know it, but go ahead. You say it.
I don't have it pulled up in front of me.
Oh.
You're doing the scripture today.
Well, I am, but you picked it. I'm supposed to pick this. I'm going to pick my own.
Well, I was just
teeing
you up.
Thank you very much. That's not how it works. Mine is Matthew 6:14-15, and it says,
it's almost like we're a married couple.
It's totally like that. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will
That's
also.
That's not Matthew 9:37-38.
No, I said 6:14-15.
I know, but I said Matthew 9:37-38.
Well, it's my scripture day.
Alrighty.
Okay, again, before I was interrupted.
Yes, we are married.
Yes, we are. Gosh, for how many years, honey?
It'll be 20 this year, right?
Oof.
No, it'll be 19 this year.
Oh, 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof. Feels like 20.
Stop it. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. I'm actually doing a study on forgiveness right now, and super convicted in some areas that way. And forgiveness doesn't mean you just check your brains at the door. It doesn't mean you let somebody abuse you and then you just, you know, go right back to the situation. That's not forgiveness. You can forgive somebody, but you can also guard your heart and protect yourself at the same time. But if we carry that resentment and bitterness around with us, really we're the ones who get harmed from it the most. So,
yeah, I forgive you for not reading Matthew 9:37-38, which is... He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field." So as the volunteer coordinator, do you need any more workers?
Oh, always. Always we need workers.
What kind of things can I do as a volunteer?
Well, you could come on Thursday nights and help to take meals out to the folks living in the extended stay motels. We actually have a really good time doing that. We've got a great group of people that get together every Thursday, and we do it together. And after, we go out to Applebee's and go for the half-price appetizers.
But they don't have half-price desserts, though. I wish they had half-price desserts.
I know. It's so true. But it's a great time. But it's also meeting a huge need in our community. And, I mean, just to get outside of ourselves for a little bit and think of other people and get to meet people that we would not normally get opportunity to meet. It's just a really good thing. It's really good, a good thing to do. And so we would welcome anybody who wants to come and be a part of that with us. We just love getting to know new people and doing life together. We've got Thursday morning meal making, where every Thursday we put those sack meals together for a couple hours. And again, it's just a lot of fun hanging out with people. And we do also have a really good time with that as well. And we have a lot of opportunities. We have a thrift store where a lot of people like to come in, especially if they want to be a little more scheduled with their time. So they can come in once a week, every, say, Wednesday morning from 8 to 10 or something, or 9 to 10 or 9 to 11 or whatever works for their schedule. And it's a really fun place down there, and you get a lot of usuals down there, regulars.
Do I get a discount if I volunteer in the thrift store?
You do get a discount, but I think you have to wait until it's been on the floor for a little bit so you can't actually take it from the room that you're sorting because, well, we don't do that as staff either. It has to be on the floor for a certain amount of time before we can do that. Otherwise, it's just not fair to the other people in the community and those we serve.
Yep, that sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just a lot of areas. We have Elevate Work where people come in and help mentor students. I mean, there's just a lot. If anybody's really interested in doing a little bit more, give me a call and we'll talk and we'll figure out what that looks like for you.
Give you a call where?
On my cell, which is 417-335-0266. And yeah, call. If I don't answer, leave a message and I will definitely get back with you.
We are still working on the playground. So there is opportunity to be involved in the playground, come by, see that. We've got the activity court done. It's all fenced and so ready to be used.
So pretty.
We've got the climbing ropes and things ready to be installed.
Oh, I can't wait for those. So I'm going to be out there climbing.
That'll be exciting. And we're still taking donations on that to wrap that up. We still have a ways to go to try to get some things done out there.
Yeah, but it's great. It's a great place for kids and families to come hang out and get to enjoy the scenery and the nature.
Well, here's some new news. I just got off a phone call right before we recorded this podcast with a group of people that are interested in possibly bringing a scooter-type program to their community.
Oh, really?
So
I love that.
That's kind of exciting.
Yep. Yeah.
They're in a rural transportation area as well and just trying to look for solutions because transportation is such a roadblock for people.
Right.
We've got classes again this week, and so we will have several more scooters out on the road here shortly.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to see them around. Somebody said that the McDonald's off of 248, there's like five scooters in their parking lot of employees that work there that they drive by all the time and see five scooters
parked
in their parking lot.
Well, and we had a great story on KY3 that came out about the scooters
it's
kind of a scooter update here recently. So we've had really good coverage from the New York Times to KY3 to Color 10. And
a lot of good things happening.
Yeah, so great time to get involved. And if you want to get involved or know about things coming up, the best way to do that and to support Elevate Branson is to become an advanced team member. And when you become an advanced team member, not only do you get inside information, you get to learn the same things the staff is learning, the books we're reading. You get discounts at the hub, the coffee shop, and the thrift store. So there's a lot of win-win benefits. You support a great organization, and you get to eat and drink at a discount.
Yeah.
And shop at a discount.
That's
You still got your Theo on your desk?
I don't think I ever had a Theo on my desk.
Well, for $20, you can have a Theo on your desk because we have Theo's puppies.
That was smooth.
All ready to go, packaged up, and ready for anyone to have. And that's a great way to support Elevate Branson and have Theo, our therapy dog, to give you a little therapy throughout your day.
I think Theo needed a little therapy last night.
He was not liking the fireworks.
Off.
No, he did not.
He was freaking out when we took him out to go to the bathroom. He came running back to the door and was like,
I wonder if he was having flashbacks
of his abuse.
Maybe, yeah, because, or I don't know if he was abused, but just, I mean,
well, he was abandoned.
Yeah. But I wonder if,
I don't know,
you know, maybe something, because he did not like those fireworks last night.
Oh, I felt so sorry for him. He didn't even go to the bathroom like all night because he didn't go outside.
Therapy dog needed therapy last night.
He did. He needed therapy. So, sweet little guy.
We were able to give him some. So, and you can support Theo in his fear of fireworks by purchasing your own Theo plush.
He's cute. The plush is cute. We don't call it stuffed because we feel that would freak him out.
Yeah,
too.
We don't want to call it a stuffed animal.
Stuffed
it's a
Theo,
plush.
It's a plush. That's right.
All right. Well, you've been listening to In Pursuit of Community with Elevate Branson. Join us again next week, wherever you get your podcasts.